cell phones or pagers, please put them in the off or the vibrate position to avoid interrupting our vision meeting. And if you are from the community and you would like to speak, there are forms back there. We would like you to fill out and come and place on the table up here. When the time comes, we will call you in the order received and make sure you sign in. So with that, let's get started. I'd like the staff to call the roll, please.
Yes. Mr. Clark?
Here.
Ms. Jacobson? Ms. Marin?
Here.
Mr. Tilton?
Here.
Ms. Leach?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton? Mr. Cusick?
Here.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the Historic Preservation Commission meeting from Thursday, November the 15th. Do I hear a motion for approval of the minutes as written in the draft?
Yes, I move that we accept the minutes as written.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second, but I have a correction.
Please.
The minutes should reflect that I was absent.
Okay. Okay. Do I hear a motion for approval of the minutes as revised?
Yes, I move that we accept the minutes as revised with the acknowledgement Mr. Was not attended at the last meeting.
All right. Do any questions or discussion on that? Do I have a second? Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It passes unanimously. Any old business? No old business. We'll go on to new business. Tonight we have an application to file number 18/08466. The Lawrence Group design review for phase two of Kingsland Walk development. Staff, could you do the introductions, please?
Yes, this development review is a design review for phase two. I think in reality they're going to be wrapped up into one phase currently, which is why we're seeing it sooner than we thought we would. It's mostly interior work with some external modifications related to landscaping and ADA compliance kind of thing. It's currently zoned as high-density residential office. It's right behind the Delmar Harbor building on Kingsland, and it abuts University Heights subdivision. That's what's in that north or far right corner. We're going to look at if it's in conformance for the Historic Preservation Commission.
Presenting tonight? Would you like to step to the podium, please?
Hi, my name is Steve Condren. I'm Assistant Vice Chancellor for Real Estate at Washington University. Mm-hmm. And part of the development team working on this project. And I'm just going to say a couple things, and I'll hand it over to our design team to walk you through our presentation tonight. But first of all, thank you, Colleen, for the introduction of the project and where we are. And thank you, of course, Commissioners and Councilman Cusick for scheduling this special session. I know we're out of your normal routine, and we really appreciate it. You may recall we came and presented the first phase, which is the northern portion of our project, back in May originally for comment, and then ultimately for approval in June. And at that time, we certainly envisioned that we would push to get the first phase of the project underway as soon as possible, with the goal of delivering the northern portion of the project in the summer of 2019, and then the southern portion when everything was done in the summer of 2020. A couple of things have transpired since we last presented to you. Most notably, we looked at the site logistics. Having one point of access along Kingsland made the prospect of having a northern phase open while the southern phase was under construction pretty daunting, and had some impacts on how we were going to access the site. We reached out to UC Police Department, got their feedback about potentially accessing from the south, had some other discussions with the neighbors. Ultimately, we determined between that and, more importantly for us at least, some need to get the project back into budget, in our target budget. There's just a lot of cost efficiencies that we realized we could gain in addition to more simple site logistics by bundling it all as one project. You may also recall that we were not starting the southern portion because it's currently occupied by the Sam Fox School and their Masters of Fine Arts program and Masters of Architecture program. They're still on track to move out next summer, summer of 19, as their new campus building is completed. So we're here before you tonight to talk about the second phase. But as Colleen mentioned, we are looking to actually deliver that all as one project at this point. So we'll talk in phase one, phase two, as far as design review and approval, but probably important to know that it's all one project for us at this point. Since we last met, we've also more recently met with the University Heights trustees and solicited their feedback about the package you're about to see tonight. Always valued and appreciated. They were great to provide good questions and generally supportive of the project. They then facilitated a meeting that we had, I think Councilman Cusick was in attendance at, with some of the neighbors around the project. Also helpful to hear their concerns. But generally, I think in this phase, the feedback was very positive. So we've incorporated the feedback that we've received and welcome your additional feedback tonight and further into a better project for us. So I'm going to turn over.
Can I interrupt you for just
a minute? Yes, please.
And maybe it would be better. This is maybe a good point because we can have a segue.
Sure.
Phase one was previously approved by the commission in June. Have you made any changes to phase one?
Good question. So nothing of substance, certainly nothing on the exterior of the building. Some small modifications on the interior with the site plan. The only one on the exterior I should mention is the transformer. That was a lot of discussion. By going to a single project, we were able to actually consolidate it with the existing transformer where it's currently located on the southern portion of the site. So that was eliminated completely. But otherwise, Greg can speak to that. The project for the first phase is very much what you saw.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I'm going to hand it over to Greg Trost from Lawrence Group and happy to answer any questions at any time.
Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Greg Trost with the Lawrence Group Architects. We also have Sue East with DTLS, who is the landscape architectural firm involved in the project. We also have Jared with CEDC, who is the civil engineer, who could also answer any questions if need be regarding site development or stormwater management. There were some questions that had come up back in June that were very helpful having them present for that. So just another quick summary regarding the site development. For those that were present during the May and June meetings, the building itself is approximately 97,000 square feet. It'll be converted into residential, 93 residential units in total. The breakout originally was 43 in phase one and 50 in phase two. And then predominantly the commercial office component, which occurred in phase one, which is about 9,000 square feet, around 11,000 square feet in total. There's a small commercial office component in the phase two portion of the building. It is high-density residential office, so there is no change in use in terms of the use of the property and how it's within the district. The project has been approved for both state and federal historic tax credits at this point in time, so there are no conditions placed on the project. Also, if you can recall, basically where the red line demarcation that occurs, the site falls within two watersheds. And so in terms of handling the storm water management, in terms of volume reduction from that site, we were in working with MSD, the plans are into MSD's hands, and they're in the process of reviewing and finalizing their review of the project. We, in essence, had to have two separate bioretention areas. One in the phase one area occurring in what we'll call the spine of the north parking lot. Mm-hmm. The second being in phase two, which will occur in this western portion between Harvard and the existing western parking lot. There is also, in addition to that, we have pervious concrete that we're also proposing as another mitigation measure where we have conditions that occur where just due to the nature of the site in terms of mitigating the water shed from those and runoff from those areas. Also, what you're going to see is really in terms of a continuation of a theme in terms of materials from what we had proposed in phase one. We had proposed the challenges to the site as we addressed in phase one was the fact that there was no true ADA accessible route to the building. Even entering the building, there's very difficulty finding an accessible route to the building. And so one of the main items that we wanted to address as part of the site development was to provide that ADA accessibility. And so we were able to achieve that. We widened the curb cut and the drive from Kingsland into the site by providing a ramp system, ADA accessible ramp that would lead to the main north entrance. So in similar fashion, we wanted to address that in phase two. We're also looking at having what we'll call another primary entrance from the east side of the building. This building is comprised of many additions over the years from 1909 to 1924 to 1926. And so creating this sense of place and the sense of entry into the building, we wanted to achieve that from both the north as well as to engage and activate that area along Kingsland near Del Mar to provide more curb appeal and a sense of entry from the south. The original Ward Building entrance, which occurs to the south, which is a beautiful marble foyer that you'll see pictures of, it's not ADA accessible. There's a great change from the point of entry into the foyer, into the stairwell, but as you enter the main first floor, there's a drop, and so there currently is a skylight in this area that we wanted to take advantage of and utilize this as a sense of entry into the southern half of the building. And so what we're proposing in terms of consistency and materiality and also allowing that sense of entry via an ADA accessible route is mostly what you'll see in this phase two, in addition to new parking calculations that we have in terms of addressing the entire site now, and also making sure we're in compliance with all of University City's guidelines regarding. We had a certified arborist report prepared, which we had shown you in phase one, making sure that we're consistent with that approach for the entire site development standpoint. So Sue's going to lead, just in terms of the materiality and the site design.
This slide depicts an aerial rendering that shows the proposed southeast entrance, showing the wall elements similar to what we did in phase one. It helps lead you into the site, and it also has integrated signage, just like in phase one. This next slide shows that we have an existing photo at the top to compare with what we're proposing. And the design removes some of the existing stone walls and columns that helps with visibility and replaces the existing steps with a gentle sloping walk. The metal clad walls retain the earth and the soil that helps to save the existing trees. And much like phase one, the walls lead you into the site and terminate at a front door. So you come up through here and turn the corner, and that's where you enter. also from the south, you come up this gentle sloping ramp, and you can come into the south door as well. This is just another view that shows that ramp leading up to the southeast entrance. You can see that when we take away the steps and the columns, there's a lot more visibility. It feels more inviting and safer. That's what we're trying to do with this design, is to lead someone to the front door, and so there's no question of where you should go. This is closer up to the front door, and it depicts the gathering space outside the building and entrance. And also there's an interior break space inside. So this is where people can come out, and this is a sunny spot, and it'll be a nice place to be in the springtime and in the fall. This is the proposed bioretention area on the western green space. It's where we will be dealing with the stormwater and the stormwater management for the MSD pipelines. The location is chosen because it's one of the lower parts of the site in this watershed. The plants being used are low shrubs and ornamental grasses, and they're chosen for their structured form and ability to absorb the water that will be put into the bio-detention basin. There will be no standing water in it. It will, percolate quite quickly. This is the proposed signage, just like what we saw in the phase one. The proposed signage is integral with the retaining wall feature. It's 9 feet high by 5 feet wide for a total of 45 square feet. The proposed sign material is hot rolled steel with a mint green accent color and applied pin letters. The office tenant will have the same color background, but will have die cut lettering. Both phases combined will have a total of 90 square feet, which is under the allotted amount per the building frontage.
So can I stop you right there for a second? So what are the signs?
These are pictures of what we're proposing. The signage isn't completely designed. But this is the direction we're leading towards.
Okay, so there's not a final design in the upper left.
This is what we want it to look like?
Yes.
And these are examples of what that would look like. So we're going towards, this is what we want.
Okay.
The background where it says office tenant, what material were you wanting that to be, just to clarify?
That will be a metal that is powder coated with a mint color.
A mint, okay.
Ironically, the mint that we had initially started looking at in terms of color. Recently, since we've been going through the demolition phase, we found some semblance of one room that had some beautiful ornate tile just within a threshold that had a cove base within a, basically it was the mint color. And so we're going to look at using that as precedence in terms of matching that color so that there's some consistency with some of the history of the building.
And the coloration of the letters will be what on the mint? Will it be dark?
We're proposing them to be cut out, so it'll be the raw metal.
Raw metal front. That's fine.
This slide depicts the southern courtyard. The existing concrete pavement will be removed and to allow for new paving materials and planting areas. As a result, the space will be more inviting and re-utilized. These are the proposed site materials. And I've also brought some examples that are in front of you. We have acid washed concrete, which is just basically a light sandblast finish. This is decomposed granite screenings. These will be like in the courtyard and some of the pathways. Mm-hmm. We have clay pavers in a herringbone pattern. These will be in the courtyard as well as in that front entrance patio area. The hot rolled steel and the color of the part of the signage and the mint.
Well, that's the mint right there.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have the existing stonework that's remaining, some pervious pavers in the parking areas, and the light fixtures in a kind of a bronze color. And this is the existing building. So I think they work quite nicely together.
Great. And then the screening, so that's a loose material.
It
a
is.
Kind of a pad.
It's a loose material. We will have like a binder in it, and that's it right there.
Cool.
So there's a binder in it that will help kind of keep it together, but it is kind of gravelly on the top. Mm-hmm. This is the slide that shows the suite of light fixtures that we are proposing for this project. These fixtures have been used locally in the U City area, and the fixtures will be a warm LED light source with cutoff lenses. The parking lot lights will be 20 feet tall, pedestrian lights 15 feet tall, and then there's some bollard lighting in the courtyard that's 3 feet tall. This slide shows the light levels. It's a photometric plan. The average foot candles in the parking lot and drive areas is around 2 foot candles. The pedestrian walkways have a higher average reading between 3 and 5 foot candles, which creates a safer walkable environment. Again, the fixtures all have full cutoff lenses to eliminate light trespass and glare. This slide shows the this is the site plan that shows the revised parking lot and drive aisle to the west over here. The parking stall sizes are 9 feet wide by 19 feet long. The ADA parking spaces are located to the closest building entrances, which is over here and through the courtyard. And these from phase one are located near the north entrance. This is a parking summary from phase one and phase two. Phase one requires 67 spaces. Phase two requires 65 spaces. And there are 9 guest spaces required. A reduction of 17 spaces can be taken for public transportation proximity and bicycle parking spaces that we are providing. The total parking required is 124 spaces. And the site plan provides for 134, and that also includes the 5 ADA spaces. So there are 10 extra spaces that we are providing.
My record shows 124.
They had modified their original one, I think, just a day or two ago.
This slide shows the existing trees in green and the trees to be removed with red X. Like Greg mentioned before, we consulted with a company, an arborist, a certified arborist, trees, forests, and landscapes. In summary, the trees being removed are most impacted by the current construction plans for the west parking lot over in here. And for the ADA accessibility and removal of some of the walls in this location. These trees are honey locusts over in here. They have a condition rating of 65%, So we are, those will be removed in order to add the parking here. And there will be permeable paving underneath. I mean, in the parking spaces. These trees over here are smaller understory trees that are near the end of their lifetime expectancy. So we are removing those and adding new trees. The only large tree that is being removed is the sycamore right here. And it also has a 65% condition, but it needs to be removed in order to get ADA accessibility up to the front door. In phase two, there are 23 existing trees over 6 inches of caliper, and we are currently showing the removal of 10 trees, which equate to about 74 caliper inches, which are required. We need to replace those in according to the University City Ordinance. This is the proposed landscape plan for phase two. The residential buffer zone requires 12 evergreens to be planted near the property line to the west. That's over this location. So we have 12 evergreens that we are proposing in the plan. The parking area perimeter requires 3 trees and 12 shrubs. This plan proposes 6 trees and 17 shrubs, so we are exceeding. There's also a requirement for interior parking space planting. This site's very tight for that, and there is no interior planting because it's just kind of a straight shot, unlike the north parking lot where we had the center median. Phase one had an excess of about 1,700 square feet of interior parking planting area and 5 extra trees. So we're hoping to use that to satisfy this requirement, since we will be combining both the north and the south, phase one and phase two. The next couple of slides just show the proposed landscape plant palette. These plantings will be used in the perimeter. These are identical to the ones we used in phase one. These are the plants that we will be using in the courtyard. Most of them are perennials and mixes of shades of green. And this is the plant palette for the bioretention areas. These are all native to Missouri, and the plant heights stay 3 feet or less. So we're trying to make some, choose plants that have some structure and aren't wild and crazy and get overgrown. So these will be, it'll be a nice added benefit to this area.
While we're talking about that, where's the shrubberies that go in that plant retention area? Where are those at? You mentioned them, so.
Yes.
Oh,
there are some, I just don't have a photo of them.
Okay.
Yeah, these are all combined with MSD guidelines. This is the proposed schedule of plants in detailed form. The proposed planting plan for phase two shows 78 caliper inches that we are providing for tree replacements that are being removed. And this is slightly more than what is required by University City Ordinance.
These are just some overall plans of the first, second, and third floor of the development. You can see here the demarcation where we have represented phase one versus phase two. So really this is what we're calling that southeast entrance. You would actually engage what we're calling a Island Press Cafe. Currently the space is operated by Sam Fox School of Design, Washington University's Island Press. The name is still to be determined, but just for the sake of as we've gone through this design process. But there's a large skylight that occurs centered on this space. And the cafe is actually not only intended to be open to the residents and the commercial office tenants, but also for the community. So it's somewhere where neighbors often cut through Harvard. Our goal is that, which I really didn't allude to in the site development plan, but there is an ornamental gate that separates Harvard from the site. And so we will need to relocate that gate due to the fact of the location of the bioretention, but it's not the intent to prohibit any cut-throughs through the site. And we discussed that with the University Heights trustees and the neighbors, because that was a point of concern. But really, the southeast entrance is also open, so that if someone wants to get a cup of coffee in the morning on their way to the trolley or down the loop, they have an opportunity to do that.
So, Greg, can I jump in and ask you a question?
Sure.
So the Island Press Cafe is a tenant.
It's not. It'll be operated by the commercial office tenant.
Maybe I can add a little bit of context for what Greg was talking about. The commercial office co-working tenant that we're working with is a company in the Central West End called Tech Artista. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see their space, but what they do is at the front entry point, they actually, instead of just having a receptionist sit there at an empty desk, they actually put the office coffee as a reception function for them. So we're going to replicate that. They are going to replicate that as the co-working space operator here at the southeast, which will be a front pedestrian door for folks visiting their space. That's how they function currently, and that's how they intend to function. So,
yeah, for the residents.
For the residents and the co-working space members, because it's a membership-based business, as well as any guests that come and want to visit their space.
So there is so that really what occupies the small, I'll call the commercial office use for the south half of the building. What is currently, right now, studios for the Masters of Fine Arts, as well as the Masters of Architecture. There's some printmaking in the Island Press, and there's also some machine shops as well. Mm-hmm. Those will be converted into residential use. The intention is for this existing marble foyer to remain intact. The marble will be reconditioned, and we have had some pictures of that. But in essence, most of it will be converted into residential use. And the breakout is 60. Right now, we've proposed 60 efficiency studio units, 18 one-bedroom units, and 15 two-bedroom units. So it's a mix of the three that comprises the 93 that
Okay, Craig, can we stay with the first floor for
sure,
a second?
Yeah.
So, can you do me a favor and describe the entrances? Because I'd like to know if there's a main primary entrance and kind of what's the secondary entrances. And if we look at the southeast corner where we were before, so there's the Island Press Cafe, but adjacent to that is this entry vestibule. So if I'm a resident, let's say, and I'm coming up that path.
Correct. This will serve as a secondary resident entry.
Okay.
For those residents that, are occupying what we call the Kingsland Wing. There's so many different additions at it, as I had mentioned, as well as entry points. We don't want to force everyone to go through one or two particular entries. There will be card access control at most of these entries for the residents for security purposes. This stair will only serve as an egress-only stair. There are control measures such as access control. But we're not prohibiting everyone from entering one main or two main entrances, either from the north, from the east. There's also, you know, from the west, that's where predominantly the parking is, to the north and to the west. We also have entry points. So those residents that would, you know, that are situated either in this west wing or within portions of the ward building also have an entry point. We're also adding an elevator. Currently, there's only one existing elevator that serves the entire building. So we are actually adding an elevator from the west. This would actually serve as our ADA accessible route to that elevator, since we have steps just outside of this existing foyer. And so that also is going to serve as an entrance into the building.
Just for operational, Mr. Chilton, just a point of clarity. Residents will have card reader access to all those points of entry. The only two points for non-residents, co-working occupants, guests, non-residents, will be the entry on the north, where the ADA path of travel takes you on the phase one north portion, and then this new entry at the Island Press Cafe. Everything else will be restricted to residents, living residents of the building, with all these other points of access, and they'll be card reader controlled.
Okay. So I just want to state that the building really doesn't have a strong front door, let's say.
Correct.
There's just multiple entrances, and none of them really call out that this is the main front door.
Correct, and that's been the strategy from a site development standpoint, is to provide more curb appeal from Kingsland and provide not only an ADA accessible route, but to really demark where the main, what we're considering the main entrances into the building are.
Okay, so the Luther Ward building, was that the original building?
Yes.
The junior high?
Correct. That was built in 1909, correct. And portions of it were removed when these additions had occurred in the 20s.
Okay, so the south facade to the Ward building, that was the original front door.
That's correct. That's correct.
So I don't have a question at this point, but maybe a comment as we go through the rest of the section here. And I saw in the presentation there's some pictures and floor plans of existing condition versus plan. Not necessarily on the first floor. This is one of the rare instances where the code actually talks about alterations in the interior of a building where we actually have jurisdiction. And I think it would be helpful as you go along to perhaps talk about existing condition within the floor plates that are actually within the jurisdiction of this commission. Talk about then what's, obviously we can see how it's being altered, but not necessarily clear on what exists there today
Sure.
on some of these floor plates.